is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here today. Kyle Reed of the Douglas Forest Protective Association in here to kind of talk about all the fires in the area. Clearly, for you folks, the last 10 days probably has not contained a lot of sleep.
It's been a very hectic however many days it's been. I don't even know how many days we're up to now. But yeah, it's been long days, a little sleep, and things are slowly starting to get back to normal for us, but there's still a long road ahead of us.
Yeah, definitely, and I think you can just hear in the news reporting and see what stories we have up on our various media platforms. The immediate danger that we have, you know, this time last week, that subsided. But are there still kind of dangerous hotspots still out there?
There are. So there's still portions of that fire that we're still working to get line on that, especially along kind of that southeastern and eastern portion of the fire. You know, we haven't seen a lot of fire activity in those areas the last handful of days with the cooler temps and the relative humidity readings being up. But there is some concern today ahead of this rain that's supposed to come in, expecting some very strong breezy winds. So there's a couple concerns there. First of all is going to be increased fire activity in some of those areas. So we definitely are keeping an eye out on that. But the other big concern is just all the hazard trees out there and working around those. And once you get some moisture and some wind on that, that really changes how stable some of those trees are. So that's going to be a major safety concern both today through tonight and for the next couple days.
And the Oregon Department of Transportation saying 2 or 3 days ago, their estimate along the highway, 7,000 to 10,000 trees would have to be taken out in that corridor. Of course, there's other trees, other places on people's private property and other property that's going to come down, need to come down as well. One of the things we ran into before with other storm situations is that sometimes it's not the first situation that brings down a tree, it's the second one. The tree is still up, and to most of us, even sometimes the trained professional arborist, without really getting in there close, it's hard to know sometimes. And a tree looks fine, you can look at the base, it seems fine, and then the second set of wind, a la tonight, or some rain come in and something shifts a little bit and down comes the tree.
Yeah, exactly. And that's going to be true for not only trees, but also rocks and logs that are on the ground and all that. So once a fire goes through, it disturbs that soil. So you'll see the rocks and stuff start falling, but especially once you get that first shot of moisture on it. But yeah, in particular with the trees, whether they're still halfway decent looking trees or just burned to a crisp, once you start adding some moisture and some wind, that can definitely change the situation. And like you mentioned, there's a number of hazard trees along the highway that are being addressed right now by ODOT, but when you start looking at all the side streets and the logging roads and everything else, there's a lot of work out there that still needs to be accomplished by different agencies and different landowners and all that. So there's still a lot of hazards out there, and we're asking people to stay out of that fire area if they can.
Yeah, in fact, out Rock Creek Road, they were working Saturday when I was up there. A lot of folks are going to be staying very busy for a long time doing cleanup.
Yeah, you know, some of these places that were hardest hit areas, you know, portions of 138 there, kind of along the Swiftwater area, and then when you get up to the Rock Creek area, Rock Creek Road, and some of those other side roads, things are going to look very different. And it's just how intense that fire burnt through there and the hazards that are left behind that fire. So there's still tons of work, tons of agencies and contractors doing work in those areas to make it safe for people to get back in there. Again, we want people to be able to get in there as soon as possible. We've opened that up to the landowners. 138 is open with pilot cars through there right now. But beyond that, you know, we're asking people to respect those fire closures onto, you know, the industrial private lands and the BLM and Forest Service lands so we can continue to do the work we need to do in those areas safely.
And you have places like Susan Creek, and what are some of the other ones there where people might normally stop and look around that really are not safe to do that either?
Well, really any of those side roads going up into the fire. So there's, you know, a number of different, you know, private roads and county roads up there. Some of the waysides there with Swift Creek and you know, you've got the campgrounds up Rock Creek and up the North Umpqua Bogus Creek. And, you know, there's a number of different locations that are either impacted by the fire directly or being used outside of the fire to support fire suppression and mop-up operations. So, again, just please stay out of those areas so we can continue to do good work in there.
And I know people, especially if you've got time off during the day or the way your schedule is set up, sometimes, and especially people like me, your natural inclination is to want to go up there and look around. And what they don't need right now is a bunch of extra cars that are just sort of, you know, gawking tourists.
Yeah, exactly. You know, talking to ODOT, some of those wait times are going to be up to 45 minutes, possibly even longer at times. So again, we're trying to mitigate, you know, those wait times. If you really don't have to drive through the highway, please don't. You know, there's still a lot of work going on. There's a lot of hazard trees up there. So again, the quicker we can get this work done, the quicker we can get back to some kind of normalcy with the highway.
And I, you know, was telling Sergeant Brad Erdell, the sheriff's office, on Saturday, we sat for probably 35 minutes twice going in and out through that area where they're taking the trees down. And it's the one time that probably having a sheriff's office vehicle with lights and siren does you no good.
Yeah, exactly. You know, even our fire personnel are having to wait in line. And I think things are getting a little bit better up there, but they're, you know, right around that same time period when we were taking some different media up there and some different trips up the river I had to do, there were multiple stops along the way. You know, there were three or four areas where work was being conducted, and it was common to have waits of 25 minutes to 45 minutes at each one of those going up. So it took a considerable amount of time to get up to do just the little bit that I needed to do to turn around and go through that ride again.
And before the area was opened up on the highway to everyone while they were up there working last Saturday, there were places there where they're taking the trees down, especially the biggest concentration, where you've got heavy equipment literally in the road. And even, and there were times we had to stop because just based on the way the machinery was turned or what it was trying to do. And I was looking at that thinking, just seeing the devastation there and thinking that the particular equipment operator was going to be there all day, and probably it wasn't going to look like he did a lot. I mean, there was so much to do.
Yeah, so that Swiftwater area where we had the cable crossing fire back in 2015 was very heavily impacted. There's been a lot of work that's taken place right in that area along the highway. Then when you get upriver, up towards kind of the Bogus Creek area, kind of that area as well was hit pretty hard by the fire. So some of that you're getting back into the Williams Creek fire from 2008 or so. So some of those areas where there's a lot of work that's been done, there's a lot of work left to do. Listening to the briefing this morning with ODOT there, they're starting to get into some of those areas where the fire wasn't nearly as intense. So they're not having to take as much work or take as many trees out, which is allowing them to increase their speed of going up the highway and making it secure and safe. But again, there's still a lot of work to do in those areas as well.
We're going to talk more about these fires specifically when we come back on Inside Douglas County. Kyle Reed from the Douglas Forest Protective Association. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1244, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming at 1. Douglas County Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, this afternoon. Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. And on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, Superintendent Jared Corden of the Roseburg School District will give you an update on the status of the district and some of the plans of moving forward right now. Kyle Reed of the Douglas Forest Protective Association talking about the current situation. Kind of take us through some of the data, some of the info about these fires.
Yeah, so right now Archie Creek's sitting at 131,598 acres, and we're up to 52% contained. So there's been a lot of good work over the last week to bump those numbers up. We've been fortunate to get some of those needed resources. you know, we've had a lot of equipment on this fire from the get-go, constructing line and opening roads, but we didn't always have the actual boots on the ground to, you know, mop up and secure those lines to hold that. So we've been able to get those crews in, and that's really been able to help us get those numbers up. Right now we're nearly 1,100 people assigned to this fire, so that's been a big jump from, you know, those first couple days where we had a couple hundred people on this.
So how are you dealing with this with when the numbers are this big? How many different camps are these folks dispersed around?
Yeah, so when you think back to a normal year, you know, there'd be one fire camp and kind of everybody would congregate there and go out on their day and do good things. And with the COVID environment that we have right now, we're unable to do that. So, you know, we've got, you know, the incident command post set up there at the fairgrounds. And then from there, we've got spike camps. There's one out in the Nonpareil area. You know, there's another one there in Glide. There was one at one point out Little River. And then there was another one out farther out 138 East. So, you know, people were kind of dispersed out to their different areas of the fire, depending on where they were working. And we worked really hard to keep those people in those same kind of family units, I guess you would say, to where it's the same people interacting with each other. So we weren't moving people from Nonpareil to Little River and then, you know, somewhere else the next day, trying to mitigate that COVID risk.
Let's kind of look back at the Archie fire. I mean, that day evolved with a different fire in a different area. It was interesting to see that and realize just how close it was to Glide, taking a look, you know, across the river. But that was rather daunting to see on Saturday. But we started out with two other fires that merged.
Yeah, so actually before that, we had the French Creek fire just outside of Glide that we were able to get around. You know, that fire started about midnight that night before. About 2 o'clock in the morning, we evacuated some homes in there, but we were able to catch that fire about 500 acres. I was up there overnight on that, and I've never felt winds or conditions like that. Those winds were just incredible, how hard they were blowing there out of the east. But soon after that, we had a report of the fire upriver. It was actually on the Umpqua, which was the Archie Creek fire. I don't remember the exact time frame now, 8 or 9 o'clock in the mornings when we got the call for our fire near Susan Creek, the Star Mountain fire. And that fire took off quick. So we diverted resources, both ground and aviation resources, up to that fire start from the French Creek fire. We had personnel from multiple structural departments respond as well, because we had a lot of resources up there protecting homes there from French Creek, and that threat was diminishing. That fire, you know, the Star Mountain took off on us. Talking to our air attack, he's never seen anything like that. You know, that fire took off and just continued to spot in front of itself. And we went from, you know, 5 or 10 acres to 50 acres to 100 acres. And by the afternoon, it was several thousand acres. And it was the same story upriver with the Archie Creek fire. And, you know, late in that afternoon, those fires merged together. We had fires south of the highway in the river there. We had the fire pushing north towards the upper end of Rock Creek and into, you know, the Nonpareil area. So that fire is, you know, crazy. So it ended up burning nearly 100,000 acres in about a 24-hour period. And that's more acres burned than any of the other large fires we've had, period. But when you combine all those other large fires we've had over the last 6-8 years, that's still more acres burned in the first 24 hours than all those combined.
Wow. So is this the biggest fire then we've ever had?
You know, I can't speak for the stuff up on the Umpqua, and I need to go back and confirm in our history books as well, but I'm pretty sure this is probably the largest fire that DFPA has had.
And then you'd have the Biscuit Fire, which was larger, as I think, but that goes way back.
Yeah, and that wasn't within our district. And,
right.
And actually, when you look right now, there's 5 fires burning right now in the state of Oregon that are over 100,000 acres in size, and the crazy thing is the Archie Creek fire is the smallest of the 5. One of those is actually over 200,000 acres in size, which is just mind-boggling.
Yeah, when we talk about the fire east of Springfield, last check, 700 structures. I think they're counting everything. Here we're saying 109 homes, but then you've got barns and shops and things to add to that as well. With all the fires, they broke out so quickly. Some folks from Roseburg were already down in California on contract crews at fires. And how did we get so much movement in terms of people? I mean, it seemed like it was very unusual, all the logging companies and folks like that.
Yeah, so just like you mentioned, a lot of the local resources throughout the Pacific Northwest that we typically draw on for fire situations were gone other places. You know, there was still fire activity in eastern Oregon. A couple of these fires that blew up that day were already burning, and there was resources engaged there, and there was still stuff in California. So early on, when we started making requests for resources, there was really nothing available in terms of traditional contract firefighting crews. The one fortunate thing that we have here locally is our our industrial community with the landowners and the operators, and the farming community and the ranching community that are pretty in the know on prescribed burning and stuff like that. We've been able to utilize these resources, you know, unfortunately, multiple times over the last couple of years with these large fires that we've had, and they were vital to our success on this fire. We had, you know, personnel from logging companies and landowners engaged on this fire. We had fire departments from all over the county here providing structure protection in the area. So this was in terms of a traditional firefight, this wasn't a traditional firefight. We were throwing everything that we could get and everything we had from industry and the local fire departments at this thing. And, you know, that's really what made this a success in terms of getting around this as quick as we have. There's a lot of fires up north and other parts of the state that are still struggling to get a handle on the fires that they have. They don't have, you know, those industrial components that have been involved as heavily as what ours have down here over the last couple of years.
I know it's hard to estimate time frames, but we've got, you know, the current firefight, but also cleanup starting to go on. And then at some point for private landowners looking at salvage.
Yeah, so we're already starting to get private industry in there to salvage, or at least start that process. So they're already in there on the ground looking at what they need to do for roads, culverts, possibly bridges that may have burned out, and then reestablishing property lines. And there's already a little bit of wood moving that they've cut to around the edges of that fire. So we're starting to see movement there. On the other side of things, on the public lands with the Forest Service and the BLM, they'll be getting a bear team in there. And essentially the bear teams are a team that goes in and assesses the damages from the fire and what needs to take place to stabilize the soil and prevent noxious weeds from coming in and remove the immediate hazard trees and stuff like that. So there's a lot of work on both sides, private and public, that are really starting to take place. It's not specifically tied to fire suppression or mop up.
For DFPA, where are we at on the fire danger? And also, are you still having issues with public use restriction violations?
Yeah, so with that last shot of rain, we were able to drop fire restrictions down a little bit. We were able to drop down to a moderate fire danger in an IFPL2. So with moderate fire danger, people can mow, dry grass, run power saws, cut and grind, weld metal, and then utilize other power-driven machinery up until 1 o'clock in the afternoon or after 8 o'clock at night. I know things are getting dark later, but that's the restrictions that are in place.
Or earlier.
Exactly, it's been a long however many days.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we are seeing some problems with debris burns again after that rain. We're running on a couple of those every day again. So again, please hold off on any pile burning or backyard burning until we get out of fire season. Right now is a great time to throw a sheet of plastic over your pile or a tarp to keep it wet from the rains that we're going to see. But it's still not a safe time to burn, especially with that warm weather coming back next week.
So what are your concerns as we get ready to wrap up here going into this afternoon, this evening with the weather coming in?
So again, the biggest concern for the firefighters out there is going to be, those winds and those hazard trees. Ahead of that rain, we could see some increased fire activity. So there could be some additional smoke or flame from that. But just in general, if we do get a new fire start this afternoon, that fire could move around a little bit on us just with those strong winds that are expected.
All right, Kyle Reed of the Douglas Forest Protective Association, keeping you updated on the Archie Creek fire and the general fire situation around the area. Kyle, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me again.
1257 News Radio, 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.